It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm so excited for today's guest on the podcast, who is a good friend of mine and whose latest project was something I am proud to be part of. Dr. Nicole Sapphire is a board-certified radiologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. And she's also a contributor here at Fox News and a national best-selling author, so writing is not new to her. But this time around, she's put together something I really think will help others. Love Mom, inspiring stories celebrating motherhood and featuring some of your favorite moms here on Fox News and extraordinary stories from other mothers around the country. And Nicole has such a wonderful story about her journey to motherhood at age 17 that will make you love and appreciate her even more, especially since she pursued all of her hopes and dreams that she had before she got pregnant with her beautiful son. That story alone could be a whole book, but Dr. Sapphire wanted to reach out to other mothers, many that you know, but also moms that wrote to her about their stories, and some of whom are featured in this wonderful new book. I know you'll love it. Please welcome best-selling author and my good friend, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, to the Janice Dean Podcast. Okay, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, you made the Dean's List.
All right.
And congratulations on this amazing book, Love Mom, Inspiring Stories Celebrating Motherhood. And I remember when you emailed me and said you were going to put this book together and would I share my story? And I thought, what a great idea, because we work with such wonderful women. I just think it's a great how-to manual, even though there aren't really a how-to manual out there. It's almost a book where moms can kind of take a breath and be like, oh, I'm not the only one.
You know what, Janice? So I was so grateful that I was asked and able to tell my story, but then to be able to tell the stories of so many other women, so many different stories. I mean, honestly, this was such a privilege. And I wanted to, one of the things that I was really interested in is, you know, we all kind of put our best selves out there, you know, social media, everyone makes it look like you have a perfect life and everything's just perfect. But in reality, we all have the exact same struggles. And while you are very honest and forthcoming in a public way about a lot of your struggles, you know, not everyone is as, you know, forthcoming as you are, myself included. Sometimes it's hard to talk about the difficult things. For me, it's easier to put it on pen and paper. And that's what I asked about all the moms that we included in this book was, please just be your authentic self. Talk about some of the hardest things that you've had to overcome in motherhood, because the reality is being a mom is hard. It's really hard. And we all learn something every single day. And by kind of hearing other people's stories and kind of what has, you know, been a success or what's been a failure, we're able to take that into our own lives and maybe make some changes for the better.
Mm-hmm. I found that, you know, reading the book as well as, you know, doing our Fox Nation special where we, you know, gathered around and did a live studio audience question and answer. I mean, I learned a lot too. You know, not only that we're not the only ones that have these issues and wondering if we're doing it right, but also taking the advice of other moms. I think we need that now more than ever. I remember being a new mom, and one of the pieces of advice that I got was find a mom group, you know, find that mommy group because you're going to lean on them. And I met some wonderful moms, first time moms out there kind of doing it as well. And to have that person on speed dial and be like, I'm having a problem with breastfeeding, you know, like stuff that you wouldn't normally just talk to, you know, your coworker about, somebody that's actually going through it.
Yeah. And you know what? That was certainly a common theme in a lot of the stories was you have to lean on people. You know, for me, it was faith, family, and friends, but everyone leaned on someone, if not many different people. And Sandra Smith, I think, said it the best was, it's not weakness to ask for help. In fact, when you actually ask for help, that makes you stronger.
Yeah.
So it is a sign of strength to ask others for help.
I agree 100%. And that's what I tell new moms. I was one of those people that thought I could do it all. And I didn't want to give that baby up to someone else because I felt like, well, no, I can't imagine going outside and actually breathing fresh air. I have to be inside and taking care of this little baby because no one else could do it. And I look back at that and I think I was kind of insane. And so I tell new moms, you have to give the baby over for a few minutes and go outside and take a breath. You'll be a better person for it.
Well, that's right. And if you're not taking care of yourself physically and mentally,
yes,
you're not going to be any good for anyone else, especially your children. So you have to carve out that time just for yourself, whether it's reading a book, calling, you know, a friend or family, but something just for you, because you'll be a better mother if you are stronger as the individual.
Mm-hmm. And I think there is something to be said for the first baby you have, you know, truly, you don't quite know what you're doing. And then the second one, it gets a little bit easier. But it is really, really important to lean on those people that you have relationships with. And, you know, it does bring you closer together. You know, having children actually brought me and my mother closer together than we ever had, I think, in my whole life. You know, it was something that really, that beautiful relationship that came from my motherhood.
Yeah. And that was also something a lot of women talked about. Not every one of them, but a lot of them pointed to their mother as kind of being a pillar of strength and knowledge and wisdom for them. You know, you said after the second one, it starts maybe getting easier. I don't know, Janice, I've had three kids and some days I feel like I still don't know what I'm doing. And I've been a mother for 24 years. So hence why this book, I'm like, yes, yes, I'll take that piece of advice and that piece of advice because it's all wonderful. But you know, one of the things that I really think about a lot, especially today, with social media, and we're all just completely addicted to our smartphones, is, you know, getting rid of some of the noise around us. So when I became a mother 24 years ago, you know, I was still in high school, the noise around me then was the chatter and the gossip and the naysayers and the judgmental stares from the teachers and the students as I walked the hallways. And, you know, when I was 17, I wasn't able to necessarily channel out that noise. But if I could talk to my younger self, you know, now, and kind of talk to her and also talk to younger moms who's kind of dealing with some of the same stuff right now, but maybe it's more in forms of judgy stuff happening on social media. It's like, it's just noise. It's not real. Mm. You have to you have to really look inside of yourself and look at the cadre right around you. Maybe that's your family. Maybe that's a small group of friends. Maybe it's just you and your growing child or your children, but that is what you need to focus on. And all of this negativity around you, it's not real. It has nothing to do with your life. So don't spend any emotion on it because it's going to take away from you and your family. And so I just wish I could tell my 17-year-old self, like, it doesn't mean anything. These people know nothing. And by the way, you're going to spend the next 24 years proving them wrong and exceeding not only their expectations, but your own expectations. I just think we worry too much and we let other people's opinions influence us way too much.
Yeah. And with social media, it's just tenfold, even 100 times worse than it was when we were teenagers. Tell me about that decision process of finding out you were pregnant at 17. And did you know right away that you were going to keep this child? I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, going through something like that. But man, you had the weight of the world on your shoulders and you handled it beautifully. I mean, from what I read and the way you are today.
Well, Janice, you know, I wish I could say it was an easy decision and I knew exactly what I was going to do, but that would certainly be a lie. And I like to put forth my most authentic self. So I'm not going to tell you that. I'll tell you the truth. You know, it was almost like I had to go through the stages of grief, even though I wasn't grieving the fact that I was pregnant, but I was grieving a life that had been up until the moment I found out I was pregnant, because now I need to start a new life. You know, first denial, I had to take many pregnancy tests before I even would acknowledge that it was true. But ultimately I kind of made my way through it. The first people I talked to is my mother. My mother was absolutely, someone who I looked to for this. And the best thing that she could do for me, she didn't tell me what she thought I should do. All she said to me was, whatever you're going to do, I will support you and you're going to be okay, whatever it is. You know, more of the general opinion from other people was, if you go through with this, you will never, you know, reach those goals that you had. And everyone knew I wanted to be a doctor. I think most doctors know by the age of like five, they want to be a doctor. So I really sat with that. Well, if I'm going to have this baby, everyone's saying I'm not going to be a doctor. And anybody who knows me maybe a little bit, the best way to motivate me is to tell me I can't do something. Because not only am I going to now do everything I can to do it, I'm going to do it tenfold just to prove you wrong. But I really, you know, I sat a lot in it, and I was big into reading my teen Bible at the time. And it really looked like a teen Bible. It was full of neon colors and, you know, really appealing to a younger person. And I pulled out my highlighter and I was just highlighting like crazy different scriptures that I was drawing, just drawing any sort of strength from. And in some of those moments, you know, I didn't feel alone. I didn't feel, you know, that I was being abandoned. It was more like, whatever path you choose, you know, this will be your path and you're going to be okay. And, you know, I don't remember the moment that I knew that I was going to have the baby. I think I probably always knew I was going to have the baby, but I needed to kind of go through the emotions and make sure that I was really, you know, considering all options. But, you know, I don't ever remember saying, well, now I'm definitely having the baby. I think I always knew. It just took a little bit for me to be able to tell everyone else that that's what I decided. And, you know, I kind of just slowly went forward from there. I didn't tell a lot of people. I wouldn't say I hid it for a long time, but I was just kind of wearing baggy clothes. And at some point you can't hide it anymore. So yeah, I was that pregnant girl walking the hallways of high school. Certainly a lonely time, but I was grateful for my family and a couple of friends that didn't abandon me. And, you know, I just really leaned on them. And without them, I don't know, I would have gone into a very deep, dark abyss of isolation, but they held me up.
We'll be back with more Sunshine right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Tell me about your son now.
So Nicholas is, he just turned 24 a couple weeks ago. He's my best friend, my oldest son. He's everything to me. I mean, I do not know what being an adult is like without being his mother. Mm-hmm. He has been my entire identity. That has been my identity my entire adult life. And he's wonderful. He, you know, he was at my high school graduation, college graduation, medical school graduation, and beyond. And we just celebrated his college graduation a couple years ago now. And he's in graduate school, just about ready to finish. And he's just off, and I couldn't be more proud of him. And, you know, there were certainly moments that, you know, I wondered if I was doing the right thing for him. You know, I got married eventually, had a couple more kids, and having a blended family can certainly be challenging. Nick was used to only having me for most of, you know, for his childhood. It was just the two of us. And then he had to share me. And that was challenging. But he has just grown up beautifully and is the best son, the best older brother that I could ever ask for. And I couldn't be more proud of him. Mm.
Tell me about going to medical school while you're trying to juggle all this.
That was a challenge. Medical school, I mean, you know, it's no joke. It's pretty difficult not having a child. And what happened for me was, when I decided to go to medical school, and you have to read the book to really get the details, because it wasn't the most straightforward path getting to medical school, but I got there. The first semester, I had no idea what to expect, and I had to go away. I had to go away from my family for medical school. And so the question was, well, was I going to bring my four-year-old son with me as I embark on this journey of medical school? And the reality was, I couldn't. He was in preschool. I didn't know where he would go. I had class all day. And then, you know, you still have a solid 5 to 6 hours of studying after class all day. And I didn't actually know what I would do with my son. But that was another really hard decision for me. I had to leave him. I left him with my parents when I went to medical school that first semester. And I was devastated, because I had been with him every day since the day he was born. And so a lot of sadness, a lot of crying. The arduous, you know, studying and hours of medical school obviously did keep me busy, but I realized at some point that medical school isn't worth it to me if I'm away from my son. And while I know a lot of parents spend a good amount of time away from their children, it wasn't right for me. And I needed to make sure that we could be together. And so again, read the book, a lot of interesting tidbits there, but I did find a way that he could come and join me in medical school. And it was hard. I'm not going to say it wasn't hard. Actually, it was probably the hardest time of my life. But I was so busy that I didn't even have time to think about how hard it was. I just kept moving forward. And it was quite the experience for both of us. And having him there with me, seeing me, I think he appreciates who I am today, because he really saw how hard I was working. It wasn't just mom's busy. Oh yeah, mom, you know, she's a hard worker. Like, he really saw it. He saw me up all ends of the night studying and doing everything I can to make sure I maximize my time with him, but also making sure I was going to pass medical school, because otherwise we would have all of this debt and no means of income. So there's a lot of pressure on me, and he saw that.
There are a lot of working moms in the book, you know, and I think the important lesson that we learn is, you know, not to beat ourselves up for it. I'm somebody that I feel like to be who I am, I have to be a working person, you know, like that. And not to say that being at home isn't important too. You know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom for many years, but here's what I saw when she went back to work. I saw this vibrancy about her, this excitement, this, you know, doing something that she really loved. And I remember taking away from that, like thinking to myself, okay, she was a stay-at-home mom for many years, but man, now that she's going to work, I see this different side of her. And so, you know, for my kids, they've never known their mom not working. And, you know, and that's a balance that you want to try to keep, that you want to be there with them. I make sure that I go to see all of their important plays or sporting events, or at least most of them. But also that they see that I love what I do. It puts a pep in my step, right? And I think that that's important. A lot of, you know, moms that are in the book talk about that work home life balance. And I don't know if there's a perfect recipe, but I think if my kids see how much I love what I do, that will give them something to look forward to when they find their careers.
You know, I don't think there is such a thing as work-life balance. Yeah. It's just living your life to the fullest you can, being as happy, as healthy as possible. Some days you're going to feel great. Some days you're going to feel not so great. Yeah. But the good news is, as you always say, after every storm, the sun is going to come out. You just have to wait for it.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, so some people work solely because they need the income to provide for their family. Some people work solely because it's their passion, what they want to do. And for most people, it's kind of somewhere in between those two.
Yes.
You know, when you look at professional moms, working moms versus those who are, you know, who are not working, as long as you have something that you're passionate about. So for me, I'm passionate about being a doctor. I love seeing my patients every day. And I love that I know that I'm changing their lives. But I also have friends who are stay-at-home moms, and they have passions outside of their household. And so I think we are equally as fulfilled. But it's for the people who don't find that passion, that is where you really start to struggle. You know, you have to make sure that you are doing something in your life that you enjoy, that's separate from being just, you know, not just a mom, but separate from being a mom, something that is just for yourself. And that's what we were talking about a little bit earlier. Do something for you, whether you become like the state's greatest pickleball champion or, you know, the greatest doctor, it doesn't matter. As long as you're doing something for yourself that you feel passionate about and that you're enjoying, because then if your family sees you happy and enjoying something, that instills in them this, you know, life is about happiness. It's not just about the grind, right? We kind of all get caught up in that grind. I certainly do a lot. And you have to make sure that your children are seeing you enjoy life, or else they're going to think that life is not enjoyable and they're not going to try and achieve happiness.
Mm. How did you pick the women that are in the book? I know that there are a lot of Fox friends, you know, familiar faces, Ainsley, Rachel Campos Duffy, Kaylee, Martha McCallum, Jennifer Griffin, Sandra Smith, Carly Shimkus, you know, all these wonderful ladies that we truly love. And, you know, you see them on television and people are always asking me, are they really like that in real life? And the answer is yes, they are. I wouldn't work here as long as I do without like that really great foundation of wonderful people that I work with that feels like a family. But there are also people in there that wrote into you to tell their stories. How did that work?
Well, so we had no idea what the book was going to look like in the beginning. It started out with I was going to tell my story, and it evolved into let's tell more stories, because while my story is not unique, you know, but it does talk about hardship and overcoming certain things. And while that a lot of people could relate to that, the more stories you tell, the more relatable it is. Mm. And that's when you're really able to, you know, draw similarities and draw levels of inspiration from. So then we said, okay, we're going to involve some more Fox moms. And for me, it was really important that these, you know, that this book is intimate. So I really wanted women who I had a personal relationship with. And now that doesn't mean that I don't have personal relationships with other Fox moms or other women. But, you know, these are women who I thought would really share their authentic self with the readers as well. And they would be comfortable opening up. And so that's why I reached out to the people I did. And it's not just Fox Moms, as you alluded to. We also put out on Fox and Friends, we said, tell us some of your greatest mom stories. And we looked at over 100 submissions and we were able to choose two stories, which are so incredible that there's no way we couldn't have included those in the book. And then there's also some non-Fox moms, non-Fox viewers who I have met in my, you know, throughout my life. One actually was a patient of mine. One is a woman I've known for decades, who's a Gold Star mom. Another woman is a high-powered executive level woman who just has the most incredible professional, but also personal life. And all of these stories, they're just so inspirational that I couldn't imagine this book being any other way than it turned out. In my opinion, it turned out perfectly. And it is the perfect blend of stories that lean on faith, valor, acceptance, resilience. And it's such a special, special book.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to read, too. You don't have to read it in one setting. You can read one story, put it aside for a little bit, or you can read it in one sitting. It's not, you know, it's not 700 pages. It's a really nice, I don't know, we need more books like this in the world, you know, that just kind of make you realize you're not in this alone.
Well, and that really is the theme at the end. It's like, we're all going through similar things. You're not in this alone. And we tackle a lot of really tough topics, as you know, in it. And I think when people read this, you know, they will realize that we're kind of all in this together. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things about the book, too, is in the center of it is a color pamphlet full of scriptures and quotes and little nuggets of wisdom that all the moms kind of submitted. And it's for easy reference. And I personally just love it. As I mentioned with my teen Bible, I had it highlighted. I had, you know, little note tabs in it because I love easy reference when I feel that I'm struggling or I'm needing some sort of source of strength or inspiration. This book is able to do that as well because it's easy to reference. And I just love it.
Yeah. What about that faith thread through the book?
Well, you know, as you know, we have everyone kind of leaned in their faith or their spirituality in some way or another. But we also had, you know, several moms who spoke more about their faith than others. And we wanted to kind of put that together. And, you know, as I say, faith, family, and friends, without it, I don't know if this world would be able to go around. It would certainly be a very lonely and isolating place. And so to listen to Ainsley, Kaylee, Rachel, and others just talk about how strong their faith is and how the comfort that they feel when they lean in on their faith in times that are challenging to them or they're having to make big decisions. I mean, it's just so incredible and it's so inspirational.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the goal is for your reader, the one that picks it up on the shelf? What do you want them to take away from this?
I think that we all have insecurities, especially in this world that we're living in right now. And I just want people to walk away from this knowing that it's okay. Perfection is not real. Accept yourself for who you are and make sure that you are doing everything you can to live your happiest and healthiest life. And just focus on yourself. Get rid of the noise and know that you're not alone and we're all in this together.
I love it. And then, of course, the Fox Nation special, which I loved taping. I feel like we need more of that, you know, just sort of to lean on each other, know that you're not the only one going through it. And, you know, to the dads out there, we love you too. And it's, you know, it's mentioned on every single page how important the men in our lives are, you know, and I feel like of course, it's a book for moms and sisters and, you know, the females in our lives. But also, you know, I think the dads could read this too and glean something from it.
Oh, absolutely. This is not one of those these books of "We're Women, Hear Us Roar."
No.
I mean, how many of us talked about, thank goodness for our husbands,
yeah,
thank goodness for our fathers, thank goodness for our sons. And I think if men actually picked up this book and read it, they would become more in tune to maybe what people in their lives are going through. I think it would be an incredible learning experience for them, because men and women, we think differently. We just do. And it doesn't make one better than the other, but we our brains work very differently and we don't necessarily process things the same. So a man reading these stories could probably relate it to some people in his lives and would likely have some insight and maybe would help him in the future.
I love it. Well, thank you, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. You're such a good friend to me. I appreciate you. I love you very much. Congratulations on this. I know that it's already a bestseller, you know, so, and I think there should be more because I know it's, you write the book and then you've got to promote the book. But when you realize that it really is going to help others, it's just like, you just want to spread it like sunshine.
Yes. And you do that every single day, especially for me, Janice. I'm so grateful that you're in the book. You're part of the live audience. And I'm just so grateful you're part of my life.
Oh, I feel the same about you. Congratulations, my love. And to be continued.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks again to Dr. Nicole Sapphire for joining us today to talk about her new book, Love Mom, Inspiring Stories Celebrating Motherhood. And I feel so blessed to be able to share my story about becoming a mom, which I truly believe is the reason why I am here on this earth today. The book is out now. You can head to foxbooks.com for details. And we also taped a special that's airing on Fox Nation right now, which I was proud to take part in, sharing our stories and advice, also learning from others. Such a great experience, and one I hope we can continue to talk about and share on future podcasts and broadcasts. Love Mom is a celebration of motherhood and reminds us that a mother's strength and love is an extraordinary gift. Thank you to all of my listeners. If you have someone you think should make the Dean's List, let me know at Janice Dean on Twitter or Janice Dean FNC on Instagram. Or you can rate this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.